Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. We'll read verses 22 all the way to verse 5 of chapter 4. Our text for today will be in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, but I wanted to read the context of these verses, and it includes chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Let's continue to read to verse 7. And because ye are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Our text will be in verses 1 to 7 of Galatians chapter 4 here. And we see set before us in verses 1 to 7 of chapter 4 the children of promise. The children of promise. The children of the covenant of grace. Turn, if you would, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of God. And now remember too, that these scriptures are written for our learning. These scriptures are written for the learning of God's children. His promised children. And the Holy Spirit has moved Paul to pen these words. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before when? The world began. Promised before the world began. But hath in these due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice there, in the hope of eternal life in verse 2, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And then, in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through the preaching, through preaching. At the appointed time of God, we were given ears to hear the word and eyes to see Christ, beloved. Which is committed, Paul says, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He's a sent man of God to preach and proclaim Christ and Him crucified. And note in verse 2 again, the promise of eternal life. The promise of eternal life was made by God before the world began. He didn't go to plan B when Adam fell, did he? He didn't go to plan B when Israel rejected Christ. No. I, to my shame, used to say that when I was in religion. What an awful thing to think. But I didn't know anything. No, God has a covenant of grace. And God made this promise of eternal life before the world began. Before the world began. Who did God make this promise to? Well, none of us were there. No. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made a covenant. And the promise was made by God the Father to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that promise is revealed to us, revealed to God's promised children, under the preaching of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's preachers have the honor of proclaiming the truth. But God the Holy Spirit is the only one who can reveal the truth. If you know the truth, it's because God the Holy Spirit revealed that truth to you. Preachers are just a mouthpiece. That's all we are. We're sent from God to preach and proclaim the one true gospel. But God the Holy Spirit must make those words effectual. And He does. He does. And God's people are also built up after we're saved. We're built up and we grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the Word. Hence, it's so important for us to be under the preaching of the gospel. To be under the preaching of the gospel. And God's preachers, again, have the honor of preaching the truth. And every hell-deserving sinner who's delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only bought to Christ, by the sovereign, irresistible, drawing power of God, the Holy Spirit. But we are bought to Christ in the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. If our majestic God allowed one for whom Christ died to perish, that would make Him a liar, wouldn't it? He will lose none, the Scripture says. None. None. We know that God cannot lie. He promised the people to the Lord Jesus Christ before the world began. We read that. So is it any wonder then, knowing that God had promised the people to Him, is it any wonder then, it makes these words come alive in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Shall. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Because they were all promised to him by the Father. Isn't that wonderful? And the believer in Christ says, I'm part of that number. Wonder of wonders. Wonder of wonders. Look at the first two verses of this chapter. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 4. Look at the first two verses of this chapter speaking of the children of promise. The children of promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ in nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. In verses 23 and 24 of chapter 3, look at this. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. In those two verses there, Paul is illustrating the truth of what's brought forth in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. You can't tell one of God's lost sheep from a goat before they're saved. You have no idea, and neither do I. So we tell folks the great things that the Lord has done to them. I preach the gospel and it goes out forth from here, doesn't it? We just let the Lord do with it what He wills. And as Brother John said, we'll be quick to give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise because it's His work. It's His work, beloved. Salvation's a work of God. It's a work of God. And our sovereign, all-wise Father has appointed a time for His sons to receive His inheritance. And until that time, the son will be under tutors and governors. As I say, you won't know a goat from a sheep until the time that the Holy Spirit regenerates that lost soul. We are kept under restraint until the time of love comes. We are kept under restraint until the time of law comes. As the law was our schoolmaster to what? To bring us to Christ. To bring us to Christ. Why? That we might be justified by faith. By God-given faith. Let's read verses 3 to 5 together now. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's our natural state. Dead in trespasses and sins. Look at this marvelous verse. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we see in verse 4 the words, the fullness of time. This refers to God's appointed time to send His Son into this world. When the fullness of time was come, not a second early and not a second later. When the fullness of time was come, our Lord Jesus was sent into this world. The Word of God. The second person of the Trinity. Made of a woman. And we clearly see that Christ came. And that He was born of a woman. He's the seed of promise. He's the seed of promise. He being made of a woman was not tainted with original sin. His father was not Adam. His father was God. See, all of us, top side of this earth, are tainted with sin. Because our Father is Adam. But our Lord's Father is God. And He came in the fullness of time. At the very appointed time by the Father. Why? Well, to fulfill the law, we know, by His blood redemption on Calvary's cross, by the shedding of His precious blood. And it's for this particular purpose that He came, that He was made under the law, to save His people from their sins. That He might die a propitiatory life, a death for us in our place before the law and justice of God. Look over in chapter 3. Again, look at verses 13 and 14. Christ hath, notice the little hinge word there, hath. Again, big doors swing on little hinges. Look at that. Hath redeemed us. He hath. He did it. It's accomplished. There's no question. And it doesn't say Christ in us, does it? No, it says Christ hath redeemed us. He did it. He did it all. What did He redeem us for? From the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus Christ was made under the law. And as a Jew, Christ the God-man was under the civil and judicial law. And as a son of Abraham, Jesus Christ was under the ceremonial law of Moses. And as a living human being, the Lord Jesus Christ was under the moral law. Why? Why was Christ made of a woman? Why was He made under the law? Well, we see a twofold answer in this verse. Why was He made under the law? To redeem them that were under the law. Let's go back to our verse there. In verse 5, look at this. Let's read 4 too. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So, in verse 5, we see a twofold reason, a twofold answer, not reason, a twofold answer, why Christ was made of a woman. The first one is to redeem them that were under the law. Remember, in verse 1 it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And then look at verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. We were under the law, beloved. We were under the law. And Jesus Christ came into this world and perfectly honored the whole law of God in the place of His people. He's perfect. He's sinless. And in doing so, in honoring that law perfectly, He established a perfect righteousness. Everything that God's law demanded, He established it. And remember, He's sinless. He's not doing it for Himself. He's God incarnate in the flesh. Beloved, He's doing it for the children of promise. So we see again the importance of noticing that He not only died in a substitutionary death, but He lived a substitutionary life. He established that which we could never, ever establish. A perfect righteousness, which we know from our studies in the past is the only way that we can stand fit before God, is to be clothed in the perfect righteousness. No wonder the Apostle Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to say that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. No wonder. No wonder he was moved to pen that in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. And in Galatians 5:18, we read these wonderful words which comfort God's people. All of us need to lay these to our hearts. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The second answer in this verse of why was Christ made of a woman, made under the law, we see the second answer in the question in verse 5 as well, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That we might receive the adoptions of sons. How did He do this? Well, again, by His perfect obedience to the whole law of God. By going to the cross and satisfying everything that God demanded for the redemption of my soul, and if you're one of God's people, for your souls, and not only for our souls, but for all the elect of all the ages. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And God's holy justice has been perfectly satisfied for all the children of promise. For all the children of the promise. Everyone. That's why He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They've all been bought and paid for. Purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Reconciled. Because God's holy law has been satisfied, because His justice has been appeased for us by Christ in our place, then we are now reconciled to God. Reconciled to God. And I love in Colossians, it says, our blessed Redeemer, He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. In the Greek, that means He whitewashed it. It's gone. All those ordinances that were against us, beloved. All our sins that were against us, they're blotted out. Purchased by the precious blood of Christ, our souls and our sins are blotted out. Blotted out. And remember what the Lord said to Moses? When I see the blood, I'll what? Passover. Oh my, it's wonderful, isn't it? I'll pass over you. My. And our blessed Redeemer, He blotted out that handwriting of ordinance that was against us. He nailed it to His cross, beloved. And because Christ Jesus our Lord has met all the conditions of the eternal covenant of grace, too, remember that. He came to this earth to meet all the conditions of the covenant of grace. We must be redeemed, and He redeemed us. Our sins must be paid for. He paid for them. We must be clothed in perfect righteousness to be able to be in God's presence. He established the perfect righteousness for us. And then He clothes us. In what? I was thinking about this morning. He clothes us like the Father. Bring forth the best robe. The best robe, the Father says to the prodigal son. Beloved, we're clothed. We're prodigals. We're prodigal sons. But we're clothed in the best robe. The righteousness of Christ. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And look at here look, we'll read verses 6 and 7. And remember, though, our Heavenly Father, He predestinated us unto the adoption of children, right? He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for us to receive the adoption of sons, Jesus Christ had to pay the ransom price in full. And He did at Calvary's cross. Therefore, He had to be made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem the promised children. To redeem the promised children so that we might receive the adoption of sons, beloved. And look at here in verses 6 and 7. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now notice in verse 6. Let's look at this. Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, ponder this. Ponder this and don't overlook the cause that's brought forth here by the Holy Spirit of God. When we're regenerated, we understand this. Before we're regenerated, we don't understand this. But look at this. And why we cry, Abba, Father. Look at this. God is said here in the text to have sent forth the Spirit of the Son into the hearts of His people because ye are sons. Did you notice that? Because ye are sons. Because ye are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son to your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Note it does not say that God sends His Spirit to make them sons. They're already sons. It says that, doesn't it? It doesn't say God sent forth His Spirit to make you sons. It says because ye are sons. God has sent forth His Spirit. The Spirit of His Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. That's amazing grace, beloved. Marvel at this. They are His sons because they were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, just what like we looked at in Titus, remember? Hence, because ye are sons. I ask you this. Does that not take us right out of the equation? We're just receivers of mercy, aren't we? We just receive it. Because we were sons. It's precious. It's so precious. Because you're sons. And they're already heirs and they did not even know it. We know that from verse 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. I ask you this, before the Lord saved you, did you know you were children of promise? I had no clue. Me? Makes it marvelous, doesn't it? Oh my. It's wondrous. My. My, oh my. They're already heirs. And God sends forth His Spirit into His children's hearts. Oh my. And now they have grace to know it. Now they have grace to know it. So what do we see here too? We see God's distinguishing grace on display, doesn't it? We see that very clearly here, set forth. And marvel if you're one who's called the sons of God. Marvel at this wondrous fact, because this stretches all the way back to eternity. It stretches all the way back to eternity. And does it not reveal the foolishness of people saying, and I've heard people say this, now that you've made a decision for Christ, now you're a son of God. That's not what the Scripture says there, is it? And we know God's people are made willing. We see right there that God sends the Spirit of His Son into His people, into His children. And because we're sons, God sends forth His Spirit. See, it takes any kind of consideration that man has, that he has anything to do with his salvation, and it lays it bare that salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. It's, beloved, it's pure mercy. It's pure mercy. We've obtained mercy, like Paul wrote. I know I say that a lot, but I marvel in that. We have obtained mercy. And we see it so clearly here in this text. We've obtained mercy. Oh my. Because ye are sons, It finds its source all the way back to eternity. And it finds its source all the way back into eternity in the grace of God. Because it's only because of the grace of God that because ye are sons. Because ye are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are God's promised children, Jesus Christ has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. And because we are God's promised children, and He's redeemed us with His precious blood, there's therefore now no condemnation to God's people. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Because why? Nothing can be laid to our charge. Nothing can be laid to our charge, to God's elect. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and now we cry, Abba, Father. Abba just means Father. Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for having mercy on me. Our Father who art in heaven. See? Our Father. And because we are sons, because God planned and purposed that in eternity, we cry, Abba, Father. Did we cry, Abba, Father, before the Lord saved us? Not at all. Oh, my. My, what grace is brought forth here. And there's absolutely nothing in our text, nor is there anything in the whole Word of God that even hints at something man does in order to receive the Spirit of adoption. It's just not there. It's so clear in these verses that salvation is by the work of God. It's His work. Salvation is of the Lord. And it's not by man's works of any kind. Not man's will. Not by man's obedience. It's of the Lord. Now, God's people will be obedient to the Lord. We will. We'll grieve at our sin. We will. We will. We won't use the grace of God as a license to go and sin, will we? No, we won't do that. We won't do that. But salvation's of the Lord. It's so clear here. It's so clear here. Never lose sight of these important truths recorded for our learning here. Or actually over there in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Never lose sight of what's recorded in the Word of God, because it's recorded for our learning, beloved. And look what's recorded over here in Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law. Now that's the same Spirit that's spoken of over there that says, God, because we are children, God has sent forth His Spirit. Now look at this. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? So that's, did you receive the Holy Spirit by your works? By your doing? Or by the hearing of faith? Well, we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. It's His work, not our work. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Oh. See, them Judaizers were telling them you had to be circumcised in order to be saved along with the work of Christ. So he's saying now, you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Are you made perfect now by something you do? And he says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit worketh miracles among you. Doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Look at that. In the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee all nations shall be blessed. And then look at the last verse of chapter 3. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, it just gets better and better, doesn't it? It just gets better and better. It's wonderful. And because we are the God's promised children, because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, because we are the sons of God, God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts, and we cry now, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And it's not by the hearing of the law, but by the hearing of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit giving us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. It's a power of God, beloved. It's a power of God. And our great God, by the miracle of the new birth, sets His children free. Free from the power of darkness, free from the power of Satan, free from the power of sin, free from the power of self, and free from the curse of the law. And this is a miracle performed by God under the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So having begun in the Spirit, we are not made perfect by the flesh, are we? No, no. We are reminded daily of our constant need for Christ, aren't we? Daily. Daily. By the minute. Oh my. And God's promised children, now let this warm your heart. You who are the people of God. God's promised children were sanctified and perfected forever by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. And God's promised children have been made perfect by what Christ Jesus has done for us. We cannot be more perfect than what we are in Christ. Now, we're sinners still on this earth. We still are. We're sinners. We are. We are sinners. But we are bought and paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in God's eyes, He sees us clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Makes you want to shout. Oh. And God's promised children were sanctified in God's sight by what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we cannot become more sanctified than what we are in Christ. Than what we are in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful, isn't it? And now God's children do mature in the faith. We grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ as we're taught under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do not become more holy. We do not become more righteous. And we do not become more complete. Because we're not made acceptable by what we do. That's hard for us to grasp. Oh my. Ponder this truth, beloved. Let it just sink deep into your soul. We are perfectly holy in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are perfectly righteous in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Scriptures declare, and oh, if we could only believe it, we are complete in Christ. What rest that gives us. But oh, the flesh. Eh? The flesh, the flesh, the flesh. Peter, Lord, help my unbelief. We're all plagued with it. We're all plagued with it. But let it, when those times come, just rest in the truth of Colossians when it says we're complete in Him. Complete in Him. So what a work. What a work of God. Because it's only God who's made us acceptable in Christ Jesus. God the Father has made us acceptable in Christ. It's His work. And absolutely nothing can be added to what we already are in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Now that goes so against the grain of religion, doesn't it? Those of us who came out of religion, we know that goes against the grain of religion. Oh my. It's all about what you do. And you never feel like you've done enough because you never can do enough. But oh, the believer sits in repose. I love that old word they used to say, repose. It just means to rest without even moving. Oh, we just repose in Christ, don't we? I'm complete in Christ, hallelujah. Oh my. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Oh. Absolutely wonderful. And ponder this too. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ gives every believer the assurance that what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for His promised children is enough. It's enough, isn't it? It's enough. It's enough. He's completely sufficient. He provides all my needs. All my needs. And all that a sinner needs is found in Christ. Let me tell you that. There is nowhere else that a sinner's needs are found and fulfilled but in Christ Jesus our Lord. And any effort on our part to add to the finished work of Christ is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. It's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord to the God of all grace, because He is perfectly satisfied with the perfect sin atoning, redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfectly satisfied. And because you are children, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And now we cry, Abba Father. My. And note the word Abba in verse 6. It's a most enduring word. It's brought forth, it brings forth that God is our Father. He's our Father. And what sweetness is brought forth here? Well, we toil through this world. Our great Heavenly Father watches over us, ever caring for us, ever providing for us. Why? Because He's loved us from eternity. We're the children of promise. And in our natural state, we didn't even have a clue. And now that we know, we're in awe. And we just praise Him. Don't we? My. Look at verse 6 again. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And note, all three of the persons of the Trinity are brought forth. God the Father sent forth the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of who? His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. Because ye are sons, God the Father has sent forth the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And who is He the Spirit of? The Spirit of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. There's so much packed into these verses, isn't there? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we see that the Spirit of the Son is sent to those who are the children of promise. The same Spirit this is the same Spirit who's said to have moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis chapter 1. This is the same Spirit who moved holy men of God to write the Scriptures. This is the same Spirit who descended on Christ as a dove. The same Spirit by whom the apostles wrought miracles. And we see here that He is called the Spirit of His Son. And we know His name, the Holy Spirit of God. And we see here that He's sent to the children of promise because ye are sons. He's sent to... It's amazing. He's sent to the children of promise. He who is one with the Father and one with the Son. It is He who regenerates us. Which means to be born again. It's He who leads us also into all truth, isn't it? It's Him. And as I said before, the whole Trinity is involved in the salvation of a sinner. The Father predestined a believer in Christ in eternity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God, we saw when the fullness of time was come, came into this world for what? To redeem us? To redeem our eternal souls? To redeem the promised children. The promised children of God. And the Holy Spirit then comes, is sent to us by the Father, and we know by the Son, because He said, I'll send you a Comforter. Sent to the children of promise, beloved. And He regenerates us. He gives us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He teaches us the wondrous things of Christ. And He gives us repentance before God. So I ask you, in light of all that, is that not a wondrous instance of the grace of God in your life? And not only in your life, in my life, but in the life of all the elect of all the ages. It's wonderful. And truly, truly, those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, those who were given by the Father to Christ, are truly sons of God because they're accepted in the Beloved, which means they're accepted in Christ. And they're redeemed from all our sins. And again, there's no condemnation. God has put the Spirit of adoption in us. And we have the assurance and the comfort whereby we can actually call God our Father. All by the work of God. We can't lay claim to nothing. And we don't want to. We don't want to. And the word Abba is a Hebrew word meaning Father. It may be that the word is, Brother Henry said, it may be that the word is both Hebrew and Greek to show us that God is the Father of both the Jew and the Gentile. Both the Jew and the Gentile. Let's look at verse 7 quickly. It says here, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When Christ came, the job of the schoolmaster was ended, that we might be justified by faith. By God-given faith. And the things that were taught under the law were fulfilled by Christ. Were fulfilled by Christ. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. And He's entered into the holiest of holies. He's in heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us. And that's where He is right now, beloved. That's where He is right now. He's God's sacrificial lamb, isn't He? He's God's sacrificial lamb, and He's made atonement for all our sins. All our sins. And therefore God will remember our sins and iniquities no more. Christ, having made atonement for all our sins, for all the sins of His promised children, remember that too. For all the sins of His promised children, there is therefore no more offering of sin for them. No more. Because Christ is our mercy seat. He's our mercy seat. Therefore, God has mercy on His promised children for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And when God sees the blood of His darling Son, He passes over them. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Wonderful words, aren't they? Wonderful words. Because Christ is our Passover, beloved. He is our Passover. And God ceased from His own works on the seventh day. Well, we ceased from our works, haven't we? We've ceased from our works because we rest in Christ, who is our Sabbath. Who is our Sabbath? We rest in Him. Therefore, Christ is our Sabbath. He's the fulfillment of the whole law for us. And we're no longer under a schoolmaster, beloved. Verse 7 again, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Beloved of God, let this warm your heart this week. We're the children of the Most High God. We're the children, we who are God's people, we who are purchased by His blood, are the children of the Most High God. And our great majestic God who rules over heaven and earth is also our Heavenly Father. And these are endearing terms for the believer. Heavenly Father and His children. Isn't that, doesn't that warm your heart? That He's our Father and that we're His children? That we're the children of promise. And the Apostle John put it this way. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. His love is manifested just in the fact that we're called the sons of God, beloved. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. John said that. Now are we the sons of God. We've been His sons from eternity, haven't we? But now it's manifested that we're His son. Because the Spirit of His Son is in us and we cry, Abba, Father. Right now at this present time, God's people are the sons of God. Right now. Not when we get into glory. Right now. Right now. Oh, if we've received the Spirit of adoption, right now we're the sons of God. And we no longer fear the wrath of God. Jesus Christ our Savior has delivered us from the wrath to come by enduring the wrath of God in our place. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love passes out fear. And remember what David said to Mephibosheth? We looked at that in Sunday school. When Mephibosheth was brought before David, he said, fear not. Fear not. So we can approach God. We who are His blood-bought people, we can approach God without fear. Now, we have a reverence for Him, don't we? Oh, we have a reverence for who He is. But we can boldly approach His throne in Christ. And we don't approach our God with a flippant or disrespectful attitude. Never, no. We have a deep reverence for who our great God is. Deep reverence. Because of His awesome majesty. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we do approach God in recognition of this profound and wonderful living union that we have with Him in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And He, never forget, beloved of God, that He's our loving Father. He's our loving Father. And all the promised children of God, He loves us all with the same eternal love. Because He loves us in Christ. An eternal, immutable, undying love. And that love was manifested in the most undeniable way, wasn't it? When He sent His Son to be our sin atoning sacrifice at Calvary's cross. As I said many times, that was the greatest manifestation of love this world has ever seen. But the world doesn't see it. But God's people do. By the eyes of faith, we see it. And if we're God's children, then we're heirs of God through Christ. We've been made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And all who are the children of God are heirs of God for the same reason. For the same reason. You know what that is? By God's grace. By God's grace and His mercy, according to the promise that we looked at there in Titus, chapter 1, verse 4. And we're heirs to the same fullness in Christ. There's no degrees in heaven, beloved. We're heirs, and Christ is our reward. Christ is our reward. Our inheritance is not conditioned upon our works, be they good or bad, but upon our relationship to God. And we have that only through Christ. If children, then heirs, the Scripture says. So let us close thinking upon these things. If we are the sons of God, And I pray this will warm your heart this week. If we are the sons of God, then we are children of the same Father. Children, we're family. We're children of the same Father. If we are the sons of God, then we are all loved with the same love, to the same degree. To the same degree. Again, there's no degrees in the Father's love. It's set upon us in Christ. And we are all blessed with the same blessings from eternity. That's something we can marvel at as we look at this scripture today. Because ye are sons. We're all blessed with the same blessings from eternity. And all the blessings that we have are in Christ. And our Father will not take away what He's already given us. And He's already given us all things in Christ. It's wonderful. And we are all accepted upon the same grounds. Like Brother Scott Richardson used to say, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. We are all accepted on the same grounds as in Christ. And for the same reasons, to give God all the glory and honor and praise and to manifest His grace and mercy, and to all the same degree. And we are all equally related to our elder brother, the firstborn son, through whom the inheritance come. And he is the head, and we are the body. And think of this. We have already obtained the inheritance in Christ representatively. We're seated in the heavenlies. In God's eyes, it's all finished. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, the Scripture says, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, that being the Father, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. May we give God all the glory when we ponder these wondrous things.